good afternoon on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast. And if you find yourself somewhere in between, good morning to you. Good afternoon, good evening across the world. We are so glad to be coming to you today to give this Bible study titled, What the Bible Says About Christian Character Traits. Now, this is part 5 in a series that we'll finish up in 2 weeks, trying to show us what character traits should be obvious in our lives. People should be able to see these character traits in our lives. We should be able to see these in our own lives. And as we go through these character traits, I want you to do some introspection and ask the Lord to lead you and guide you and let you know if there's anything about these traits that you would need to embellish in your life. And that you would ask the Lord through his power, through his might, through his wisdom to help you build these character traits, to help you practice these character traits in your life. Now, I do hope that you have your Bible with you, your notepad, and your pen with you, because you may need to take some notes. Like always, you can go back and read the verses that I give you in context, because we don't want to take verses out of context. We don't want to proof text verses. But we want to see what the Bible says about a thing. And we don't want to just use the Bible to support what we're trying to say. But we want to use the Bible to teach us, to train us, and to give us what we need in life to do better, to be better, and to live better as Christians. Pray with me while we invite the Spirit of God into our Bible study. Dear Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and we glorify your name. We gather together around your word today and we pray that you will teach us, that you will train us, that you will cause us to know more of what you require from us. Give us an understanding and wisdom about Christian character traits that we should possess in our daily Christian walk. Help us to be able to teach these traits to our children and to those who look to us for guidance. Father, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit, and that you will open the eyes and ears of the hearts of those who will listen. Build us up, Lord, in our most holy faith. Let us be changed from glory to glory. And when all is said and done, we ask that you are happy and pleased with what we have set out before you. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you for leading and guiding us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. We are going to start in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. 1 Corinthians 14:40. And it reads like this. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, our Christian trait here, our character trait, is going to be orderliness versus disorganization. Preparing myself and my surroundings so I will achieve the greatest efficiency. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. It's what the Bible tells us. And you know, it really does make for a more efficient life when things are in order. So many times, the enemy would come to bring about disorder. Because if he could bring about disorder and strife and confusion, then it is very hard for the weak to stay true and to stand firm on their Christian life. When there's chaos and disorder, people tend to get frustrated. Things tend not to happen the way they're supposed to happen. When there's disorder as far as relationships are concerned, those who ought to be in authority are not given authority. And then things don't go as they should go. And this brings about disorder. In the legal system, there's a thing called disorderly conduct, where even the laws of man says you must maintain yourself in a certain decorum, in a certain sense of order. You wouldn't go to your job and start trying to give your boss orders. He will find you insubordinate and out of order. You wouldn't go to your meeting in an organization and start telling the chairperson how to conduct the meeting. They will find you out of order. Most of us live in a house, a home, apartment, where somebody has a real need for order. Now, there's oftentimes someone who is just fine to be in disorder and the place in disarray. But there's usually somebody in the home who has a need for order, things in their right place. And so as a Christian, we want to be organized. We want to have a sense of order in our lives. The Lord orders our steps. Let everything to be done decently and in order. When we treat people, when we react to people, when we are in relationship with people, we must do things in order. And as the verse says, decently. Many of us come to the Lord later on in life, or we went through a period of life when our life was out of order and we did not live according to decently. We did not act according to decency. We act according to our own desire. We did not follow the order of things. We got things out of order. Some of us, by the time we come to the end of this lesson, we'll find some things you might need to repent of. And by hearing the word, it might bring conviction, which brings about your confession, would be the right response to conviction, and then repentance, so that God can restore a right relationship between you and Him. So we want things in order. Christian character trait, orderliness. Turn now in your Bible to Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And it reads, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience," what's our character trait? Character trait is patience versus restlessness. Accepting a difficult situation from God without giving Him a deadline to remove it. Now, this right here is beautiful. It speaks to lordship. It speaks to sovereignty. It speaks to headship. It speaks to the Lord knowing what He's doing. It speaks to the Lord's ways being higher than your ways. You see, many of us, we go through what we go through, and we pray, and we say things like this: well, if I don't see a change by the end of the month, then I'm going to act on this. God, if you don't get me out of this situation by the end of the year, then I'm going to have to make a move. God, if you don't provide for me in X amount of time, then I'm going to do this thing over here, which I know is not for me to do. God, if you don't find me a husband, if you don't find me a wife before this time, then I don't think I could hold out much longer. I'm just going to grab this guy, this girl, because they're good people. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Saints, let me tell you, you're going to go through tribulation. You're going to have troubles in your life. You're going to have trials. You're going to have temptation. But you need to hold on to God as you go through these things. When you go through these things, it's not the time to question God. Now, it's one thing to ask God a question. It's another thing to question God as if you know more than what God knows, as if you're in charge and you're not submitting to God's authority in your life. Is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord of all your life? I've heard it said, if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. See, you can't give him certain things and don't give him everything. See, you might say, well, I'm not ready to give up this yet. Well, has God told you to give it up? If he has told you to give it up, if he has convicted you of a certain thing, then that is the time to, one, confess that you are in violation, and two, that you are wrong, and three, that you are sorry for it and repent of it. So you're going to go through tribulations. But understand that when you go through, you're going to have patience. It helps you to have patience. You know, they used to say, don't pray and ask for patience, because there's only one way to get it, and that's to go through some stuff. And so either you develop your patience, or God's going to help you develop your patience. And so what you want to do is you want to develop, and you want to not be restless in waiting on God. So you want to be at peace, knowing that God is working it out on your behalf. You want to be in communication with God so that you are doing the right things as you wait on him. You don't want to be in the way of God making his will come to pass in your life. God wants to do His will in your life. And that takes a sense of lordship, takes a sense of headship, you knowing and you understanding that God above all is in charge. And even when you're going through, even when he's not doing it the way you want it done, even if he's not doing it the way you think it should be done, you need to submit and surrender to the authority of Christ, knowing that he worketh all things together for good to them who love him and are called according to his purpose. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. And that reads like this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And then that verse continues on in the next verse. But you read that later on. I have gotten the part that I need, which is our next character trait, persuasiveness versus contentiousness. Persuasiveness versus contentiousness. See, we have to be the kind of people that sees an issue and would like to move to correct it, because we are moved by the Spirit of God in a certain situation, but we have to be able to guide vital truths around another's mental roadblock. You see, not everybody is ready to receive the Word of God like you might be ready to give it. Everybody is not at the same place in God, at the same speed, at the same time. You see, God is doing different things in the lives of different people at different times, at different speeds. You might see something and think, okay, that not ought to be as this person is carrying on. And they might not have the revelation that you have. God might not have shown them what he has shown you. And so you got to have patience. You've got to understand that you don't want to be contentious with them. You don't want to contend with them. You don't want to fight with them. You don't want to argue with them. But you want to persuade them. You want to teach them in love and at their speed. And you must walk with God so that God can give you the wisdom on how to reach a person where they are. If they're not ready to hear what you want to tell them or what you think you have to share with them, then you have to be ready to hear God as he guides you into the truth so that you can teach the truth that somebody else might not be willing to hear. They might not be ready to hear. See, their background might have given them filters, which causes them to throw up a wall when you try to teach certain things, when you try to talk about certain things. So you have to build up your emotional rent with them so that they trust you, so that you can speak into their life on certain things. See, there's areas in people's lives that they have so blocked off that they are not ready for someone to get in there and deal with those areas of their life. So, as a Christian, the character that you need is persuasiveness. Understanding how to come up against an objection and turn it around to where it's a positive. Hearing where that person has an issue and satisfying their issue so that they hear what you need to tell them. It is a gift to be able to negotiate things this way. But we need persuasiveness. You don't want to fight with the people. You don't want to argue with people. You don't want to be strifeful. But we do want to persuade them. All right, now turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Now, this is back in the Old Testament, right there near Psalms and Proverbs. You might need to look in your table of contents so you can get there quicker. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Showing high esteem for other people and their time. This character trait, punctuality versus tardiness, Now, this one steps on a lot of people's toes, but it's not me, this is the Bible. This is telling you, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, if there is a time set for a certain meeting, a time set for a certain obligation, a time set for a certain expectation, then you want to be punctual. You want to be on time versus tardiness. In the Old Testament, in the days of the flood, there's a picture of how important time is. See, up until the time when Noah closed the door, he was instructed by God to close the door, his family, his neighbors, other people could have joined him. But once the time was out, the door was closed, the people could not be saved. Tardiness cost them everything. There's a parable in the New Testament to where there was a wedding, and half the ladies were ready for the wedding, and they were invited in. Half the ladies were not ready, and so they were not on time, and they were not allowed in. And they tried to get in after the wedding had started. Nope, sorry. You must be punctual. This gives a forelooking towards salvation and our resurrection, the resurrection of the saints. See, as long as you're still living, and as long as Christ has not returned for us, you have time. But we don't know when that time is going to run out, because we don't know when we take our last breath. We don't know when the trumpet's going to sound and Christ is going to call us home. So we've got to do things now on time. When God tells us to do it. That's why I said, when God convicts you and lays a conviction on your heart to let you know that something needs to be changed, that something is not pleasing to him, right then is the time you need to do it. You don't need to put God off, because you don't know if God is giving you that warning right before your time is up. So you want to be punctual in all things. That's why punctuality is so important. It lets people know that you respect their time and you want them to respect yours. You want to show up on time every time. When I was in the military, they used to say, if you're not 15 minutes ahead of time, then you're late. Well, you might not need to take it to that extreme, but if you have a meeting at a certain time, you want to be at that certain time. If you have a deadline to turn in a project, you want to have the project turned in before the deadline, or at least by the deadline. Because there's a reason those times are as they are. So let's do things on time. You still with me? Not meddling too much. All right now. Remember, as long as it's in the Bible, that's what you go with. If it's not Bible, then you say, hey, doc, I don't think that's Bible. I think you need to, you know, go on with something else. But if it's Bible, then you want to say amen, and you want to go ahead and follow what thus saith the Lord. Now go ahead and turn back to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. All right, here we go. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This Christian character trait, resourcefulness. Resourcefulness. And we're going to put that up against wastefulness. We want resourcefulness, not wastefulness. What we want is wise use of that which others would normally overlook or discard. We want to be resourceful. Because remember that God says when we're faithful with little, he's going to give us a lot. If we're not faithful with a little, then the expectation is we won't be faithful with a lot. So basically, use what you can get your hands on to do what needs to be done, and you'll find yourself getting more and more to use because you're faithful with the small. You're faithful with little. Now, this verse is often used with money, and people feel like preachers use this to get you to give more and more money to their ministries. But the idea is, if God can trust you with a little, he can trust you with a lot. If he can trust you with a little money, he can trust you with a lot of money. Look at what happens to a lot of these young fellas who come out of poverty, and because they're good at playing sports, they get these huge contracts, and then they find themselves in a lot of trouble. A lot of them, they lose their contracts because they never learned what it took with a little. So then when they got a lot, they didn't know how to be just with a lot. They didn't know how to be faithful with a lot. So you see that in that. And I'm encouraging you to be resourceful with what you have, to see what God wants you to do with what you have, and to be obedient with what God tells you to do with what you have. Now, most people feel like they have little. Most people feel like they can use some more. Well, if you feel like you can use some more, then let me ask you a few things. Are you being faithful with what you have? Are you sharing what you have with those who have less than you? Are you thankful for what you have? Do you live with a grateful heart? Or are you always looking for what you don't have? Are you obedient with what the Lord says to do in terms of finances in terms of time, in terms of serving others. That whole thing about a tithe, that's not just money. That's increase. You know, they say, let me see your checkbook and I'll tell you what's important to you. They also say, let me see your date book, your day timer, your calendar, and I'll show you what's important to you. Who do you spend your time with? What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your energies on? What do you spend your monies on? How are you using what God has blessed you with? Has He blessed you with land? What are you doing with it? Has He blessed you with different gifts? Well, I know He has. We all have spiritual gifts. What are you doing with it? Has He blessed you with talent? What are you doing with it? Are you being faithful with that He has blessed you with? Because He wants to bless you with so much more. But you have to prove, not to Him, because He already knows, but you have to prove to yourself. You have to get the exercise in so that it's second nature to you. If you are not used to giving 10% of a dollar, then 10% of $10 is going to be hard. 10% of $100 is going to be even more hard. 10% of $1,000 is going to be hard. 10% of $10,000, $100,000. You see, you start looking at what it is you're giving and what it is that's required of you, but you're not looking at what it is that you're getting. So let's be resourceful with what we have. Let's not waste what we have. Let's not want what we don't have to the extent that we don't appreciate what we do have, and we don't utilize what we do have for the purposes of God and to glorify God. Okay, that one was kind of deep, but I think you have it. I think you understand. I think you are right with me, seeing eye to eye on that one. And I believe that you are going to walk that one out. You're going to walk it out just like it's supposed to be walked out. Now go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Romans 14 verse 12. So then, every one of us should give account of himself to God. Christian character trait here is responsibility versus unreliability. Responsibility versus unreliability. Knowing and doing what both God and others are expecting from me. Now see, we are accountable people. And we're accountable, number one, to God. First and foremost, to God. we will have to give an account for ourselves before God. Now, if you happen to be in a relationship, then we're accountable to the person we're in relationship with. If we happen to be in a family, we are accountable to our family members. If we happen to be in a fellowship, in an organization, we are accountable to the people in that organization. We must be held accountable because we are responsible to the people that we are in relationship with. No matter what that relationship is, we are responsible to them for our actions, for our inaction, for our words, for our deeds. We are responsible. And in that responsibility, we have to be reliable. They have to be able to rely on us to do the things that we are responsible for. Being in your position, whatever that position is, there are certain responsibilities that go with that position. Having authority gives responsibility. Having freedom brings about responsibilities. So we are responsible, number one, to God. We need to know what God expects from us. And we're responsible to know what God expects from us. And we're responsible to do it. Understand this. We have a tenet in our law, man's law, that says ignorance of the law is no excuse not to obey the law. So you can't say, well, I didn't know, because we have a responsibility to know, and we have a responsibility to follow. Same thing with the things of God. A lot of people make a lot of mistakes because they don't know better. And this is part of maturity, when we grow into what we know. Now, we are responsible to find out what we need to know. We are responsible to find out what we don't know, because we're responsible in being held accountable to what God expects, whether we know it or not. Because some of us are blissfully ignorant. We don't want to know. We want to be able to say things like, well, God knows my heart. Well, I need God's grace. Well, God's grace is there, but God's grace is there to teach you what you need to know. Now, again, if you got the blinders on your ears and you don't want to hear, and somebody's trying to correct you, and maybe they don't have the skills that it takes to get to you, God knows the skills. And if you have submitted to God and you are pursuing God and you are seeking the face of God, then you will understand what is right by God. I guess this next week we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments, and that's going to let us know exactly what God wants from us. So, you know, the Bible tells us that no man is with an excuse. We're all without excuse, is basically what it says, because you got to know the nature of God. And God speaks to you, God teaches you, God trains you, and we know right from wrong. That's where the conviction comes in at. That's where that feeling comes in at. So don't harden your heart. take responsibility for your own actions. Take responsibility for your words. Take responsibility for your thoughts. Take responsibility for your choices. A big segment of society today wants to say that they are certain ways that are unpleasing to God, and it wasn't their choice. They were made that way. And so they want the rest of us to say it's okay for them to be that way because that's how they were made. Well, my Bible tells me that God created man in his image. And his image is not messed up. His image is not confused. His image is perfect. And so if you are not perfect, then you've got work to do. We have fallen from the image of God, and we need to be working back towards that image of God so that we can be what God would have us to be. Are you still with me? Great. So, anybody that knows me even a little bit knows that I am very big on personal responsibility. And I think Christians need to be out front with this, because the world needs to see us taking responsibility for our actions so that they understand that they are responsible for theirs. Now, glory be to God, thanks have Jesus Christ and his blood that covers our sin, because some of our actions is not up to standard. Some of our words are not up to standard. So we need to take responsibility. We need to confess. We need to repent. We need to change. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 23:17-18. Proverbs 23:17-18. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Our character trait is reverence versus disrespect. Awareness of how God is working through the people and events in your life to produce the character of Christ in you. Let thine heart not envy sinners. So many of us look over at people who seem to have a bigger house than ours. They seem to have a bigger car than ours. They seem to not have any of the financial problems we have. They seem to, just be running around having what looks like all kinds of fun. people think that, you know, they're being promoted. I mean, they're getting positions that we figure we should have. They just look like everything is just doing so great by them. But the Bible says, don't let your heart envy those people. But be thou in fear of the Lord all the day long. Now that fear is a reverent fear. That's that reverence. And that is our character trait. Reverence versus disrespect. You want to have reverence for what the Lord is taking you through. Reverence the Lord. Remember I said, it's all right to ask the Lord a question, but you don't want to get to be disrespectful and start questioning God like you're putting yourself above God. Because remember, he has a plan for your life. He is on the throne. He orders your steps. And so your sinner friends, your sinner neighbors, they may have made a deal with the devil. It looks like they're living large, but inside is a bunch of dead man's bones. They are so sad and miserable inside. Now, they look like they got a happiness, but they have no joy. They ain't happy because their situation seems to be good right now, but they got no peace. Maybe their family is torn apart. Maybe their relationships are empty. So don't envy them. Don't let your heart envy that. You reverence the Lord, and you be in fear of the Lord, and you do what that God says to do. And whatever God is taking you through or allowing you to go through, you go through with your head up high or bowed low, as in prayer, because you're walking with God. You take hold of the hand of God, and yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. You walk with God no matter where God tells you to go, and you do it with whatever he gives you to do it, and you be joyful and honor God. Oh, I wish I could hear y'all say amen. Sometimes I just need to know that you're with me. Okay. So go ahead and turn to John chapter 6, verse 27. This is our last one for the day, and we're going to bring it on home. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Well, what is our character trait? Our character trait is security versus anxiety. Security versus anxiety. Now, I don't want you fussing with me and fighting with me, because I said security versus anxiety, knowing that we have so many people on all these anxiety drugs that it is just pathetic. But let's just get this point. Structuring my life around that which is eternal and cannot be destroyed or taken away. See, so much of our life is around paying bills, you know, buying the groceries, paying the heat, paying the electric, paying the water, paying the sewage, paying the car note, paying for these nice clothes, paying for the hair getting done, the nails getting done, you know, paying for all these things. And that's what we are so anxious about pursuing, is all these worldly and earthly things. Well, the Bible tells us that we need to be more concerned about things that are eternal. Your salvation, your walk with God, your children's walk with God, your spouse's walk with God, your neighbor's walk with God. Are you doing things that are going to lead to happiness in the eternity? Are you doing things that are sending up what we used to call timber to build your place in glory? Are you doing things that are going to last? Is that your motivation? Is your motivation just for this world, or is your motivation for things to come? Yes, we have bills that we pay, but guess what? We have acquired those bills. We need to order our lives so that the things that we have responsibility for are things of eternal purposes. So many things that we owe for down here are things that are going to stay down here. We want to invest in things that are going to go up there with us. We want to invest in things that are eternal. We want to invest in things of the kingdom. Now, leave it to the preacher to turn things into money, but it's between that new car that you don't need and supporting somebody's mission trip to go save souls, go build a church, go do something for others. Maybe you ought to see if God might not want you to put that money over here and to things that are eternal. Now, does that mean you can't get you a new car? No, that's not what that means. Maybe God wants to bless you with a new car. Maybe you've been faithful in things that are little, and he wants to bless you with more because he can trust you with more. The idea is, ask God what his plan and purpose is for that raise that he just got you. Ask God what his plan and purpose is for that extra commission that he helped you close the deal. Ask God why he brought certain windfalls into your life. Because he might have a plan for them. He might have somebody that needs exactly what he just gave you. And it might be just to bless you. So this isn't about getting you to feel bad about having things. But this is about trying to make sure that you don't allow those things to have you, and the pursuit of those things to cause you to have anxiety, to cause you to be anxious. Because, you know, sometimes we live above our means. Sometimes we overextend ourselves. Sometimes we spend more than we make. And sometimes we just don't do it the way God would have us to do it. So those are some really strong character traits that we went over today. And we really want to seek the Lord as to what this might mean for us in our lives. And see what God would have us to do about the word that we've heard today. Let's pray. We thank you for this word. We thank you that you would not have us ignorant and that you would tell us what it is that you require from us, what it is that you expect from us, how you expect us to go through this life, what kind of example you expect us to give a hurting and dying world. Father, we thank you that you convict us where we let you down. We thank you that you convict us where our hearts might have been hardened, where maybe we have gone astray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for being a good God, a faithful God, and a God that would have our backs at all times. Cause us to want to serve you in all our dealings. Cause us to be faithful. Cause us to be responsible. Cause us to be secure in you, and knowing that you provide for us, and knowing that as we're obedient to you, we will not be without. Knowing that you will walk with us and carry us through tribulations, and we'll come out the other end stronger and better off than when we started. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. Father, if anyone doesn't know you at this point, we ask that you let them open their hearts and invite you in. Father, anybody who has been away from you, we ask that you help them to return to you today, to rededicate their lives to you, to living on fire for you. Father, we thank you. And Father, give us the fullness of your Spirit. Fill each and every one under the power and under the sound of my voice with the power of your precious Holy Spirit. Teach us, guide us, and lead us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Folks, thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for enjoying the Bible study. Thanks for inviting your friends. And thank you for sticking it out. God wants to do mighty and wonderful things in us. And you are here at the right time to make a difference in this world today. Starting from the day, you're going to live on purpose, for purpose, and the purposes of God. Now remember, as you go through the week, check out our live stream on Revival USA page and Facebook, as we pray for revival for our nation at 12 o'clock on Eastern time. There will be videos posted of the prayer time if you can't get with us for the live stream. And pray with us. Pray for us. Hey, we love you. God loves you. We want you to be good to yourself. Love yourself. Love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Until the next time, God bless.